The greatest honor of my life was Christ letting me lead this church. I don't suppose he can give me anything heaven better than to allow me to have spent my life in this church. I love you people with all my heart. I want to talk to you this morning about the future of our church. So if you know and love Christ, would you say a prayer in your heart? Would you pray that the Holy Spirit could speak through me in the kind of way that we could see the future as a place where God is going to do the greatest things he's ever done in this church? Oh, Heavenly Father, you are the God who said through the prophet, I know the end from the beginning. You are the God who said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go out and live a life that's meaningful and has influence and attracts people to Christ. And I pray this morning that you could empower me to speak about our future as a church in such a way that your holy purpose would be expanding in our church in the future. In Christ's name, amen. Mankind was not created to live in the world that we live in. We weren't created for such a broken and mean and harsh place. We were created to live in Paradiso, the garden, the paradise of God. God's vision for our future was a delightful vision where he personally walked with us day by day in the cool of the garden. He delighted himself in us, and we delighted ourselves in him. But the unholy one told us a terrible lie. He said, God isn't as good as you think. God scammed you. In fact, if he was really good, he'd let you do whatever you want. And mankind believed the terrible lie, and we broke the world. And paradise was lost. But God never gives up. God never gives up. And he said, my vision now is in every generation to find people who will come to know me and love me and trust me and obey me. And then I'm going to bless those people and I'm going to make them influential for good. And they're going to do the kind of things that will attract people's attention. And people who don't know me will come home to me because they see what it is like to have a quality relationship with God. And then we read about the incredible life of Abraham. God said, you have to live, you have to leave the life you're living right now. I have something so much better for you. And he blessed him, and he prospered him. And everywhere Abraham went, people sensed something wonderful about God through him. I could tell you of Joseph, who was abused by his brothers, ended up in a prison in Egypt. But God exalted him and made him his partner and made him the premier of Egypt. And all of Egypt came to know that there was a great God. They saw him in the life of Joseph. Pharaohs forgot who Joseph was. And they created an intolerable world. They enslaved the Israelites. But God partnered with Moses, and in 10 plagues, he browbeat the Pharaoh into admitting that the Lord was God and not to be trifled with. And God glorified his name in the Exodus. I could tell you about King David, who never went to school, but wrote some of the greatest poetry in the Psalms that has ever been written, and has attracted attention to what an intimate relationship with God looks like for 3,000 years. I could tell you of Daniel, who was captured as a teenage boy and taken as slave in Babylon. But he partnered with God, and God exalted him, and he became the most influential advisor. And all of Babylon knew that the Lord, he was God. The entire story of the Old Testament is what happens when God's people partner with him, and what happens when they don't partner with him. I want to pick just a 100-year stretch. In about 790 years before Christ, King Uzziah became king. And he ruled 52 years. He was one of the longest kings in Israel. And the chronicler said this: he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. If you read the whole story, Uzziah created a thriving economy. The trade routes returned to Jerusalem. He had a military that was strong enough to intimidate the enemies, and he didn't have to fight very many battles. It was a wonderful time of peace and prosperity. And his generation saw what it looked like to live in a relationship with God. His son Jotham became king about 740 BC, and he ruled 16 years. And this is what the chronicler said: so Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. Almost 70 years, Jerusalem becomes a focal point for the Mediterranean world because they partnered with God in his vision. But Jotham had a son who threw it all away. Jotham had a son that said, "Yeah, you people." And the chronicler says he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David had done. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. He even made metal images for the Baals. Baal was a Canaanite god who was like Zeus. He was a sky god, and this is picture him throwing thunder. He had no moral character. He abused people, couldn't control his temper. He wasn't a deity. He was a beast. And Ahaz abandoned the Lord to worship a mythical beast. But that didn't satisfy his broken and masochistic heart. The chronicler said he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his sons as an offering according to the abominations of the nations that God had drove out before his people Israel. This man became so deceived about life that it made sense to him to take his babies out of the arms of their mothers and throw them into the fire of a mythical deity. And God wouldn't have it. God would not have it. And the king of Syria saw the prosperity of Israel, the prosperity of Jerusalem, and he took his army and he defeated Ahaz's army and he plundered the wealth. Ahaz thought he could hold on. But when the king of Israel and Samaria saw that it worked for the king of Syria, he attacked. And in that battle, the entire army of Ahaz was lost. 120,000 soldiers gone. And then the king of Samaria came into Jerusalem, rounded up 200,000 people to take them home to Samaria. This is the archaeological dig at Samaria, as slaves and servants. But when the army got these 200 people there, a prophet named Obed came out and said, "No, you're not doing this. God's wrath fell upon Jerusalem because of their corruption. And if you think you're any better, you've deceived yourself. You send these people home." And so they sent them home. But there was really no home to go to. The economy had collapsed. There was no military to protect them. Life became a day-to-day struggle for survival. When the Edomites in the south saw it, they invaded. And they defeated Judah and carried away more captives. When the Philistines in the west saw it, they invaded. There wasn't any army to defeat. There weren't any people to take, so they took cities. They just simply said, "We're claiming this city as part of our Philistine empire." So Ahaz got an idea, and he went into the temple of the Lord, and he took wealth out of the temple, and he tried to bribe Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, to help him. And the king of Assyria said, "Yeah, I'll help you. Give me that money." Ahaz gave him the money. Tiglath-Pileser said, "Sucker, I'm not doing anything for you," and kept the money. Now Ahaz has no economy. He has no army. His people are living in abject misery, and he can't even finance his own family. So he goes into the temple, takes some of the treasure that is left there, cuts it up into coin-sized pieces of gold and silver, and it's the only way he bought groceries. And then he locked the gates of the temple so no one would know that he had stolen the treasures of the Lord. Perhaps this contrast in what had happened when Uzziah and Jotham followed the Lord, and what had happened when he abandoned the Lord, might change his mind. But the chronicler ends the story by saying, "In the time of his distress, he became yet more faithless to the Lord." Here we see God in history. Ahaz inherited a blessed and prosperous kingdom. Ahaz inherited a world that was under divine favor, that was attracting people's attention to good. And he abandoned the Lord, and he left a country that was broken, with people subsistence farming to survive. But I love to read the Bible. Don't stop reading too soon. If you read 2 Chronicles 29, Ahaz's son learned from it all. And everything his father wrecked, Hezekiah restored. And God blessed the nation of Israel, the kingdom of Judah again. Church. These stories are in the Bible to teach the church a lesson. You see, in the Old Testament, God wanted to glorify his name through kings, priests, and prophets. And he did it from the time of Abraham until the time of Christ, 2,000 years. But they failed him generation after generation. So at the day of Pentecost, God said, I'm not limiting how I glorify my name in the world to one country and one group of kings, one group of priests. I'm going to open this up to every ethnic group in the world. I'm going to open this up without regard to gender. I'll glorify my name through men and women. He said, I'm not going to make this as a economic, a class thing. I'm going to glorify my name in those who were born wealthy and those who weren't. 2,000 years of church history tell the same story as 2,000 years of Old Testament history. When the church fully engages in God's vision, he blesses it and the church thrives and accomplishes remarkable things, and people think there is a reality of God in that place. When the church abandons God's vision, it starts a progress backwards and eventually becomes nothing more than a relic of the past. Drive around Cleveland. You'll see shells of what were once great churches. You'll see shells where once people like you and I worshiped. And we loved God, and they gave, and they served, and they were a partner with God in his vision. But an Ahaz generation rose up in that church, and they said, it's not important to honor God. It's not important to do what he asked. The Spirit of the Lord stopped working there. And today, when you look at it, you say, decades ago, God did something remarkable here. But that's over. This church has a 38-year history of pursuing God's vision for the church. 38 years ago, I met with six people in a church basement. Their previous pastor said, you're going to go out of business. I was young, had a full head of hair. I was svelte. I said, before you call me, you better know what I intend to do. It's not going to be business as usual. We're going to become partners with God. And we're going to figure out how to attract people in our generation from our community to Christ. This is what our church looked like when we started. Well, actually, the new paint and the steeple we put on afterward. That's where we started, Parma. Some of you remember, we followed God wholly and we outgrew this property. We're having multiple services. Tore down the house, tore down that house to expand the parking. Tried to buy the building next door. They sold it to somebody else. But God had a better way for us. And we moved our whole church from this building in Parma to the Lund Road building. That's what it looked like when we bought it, not when we sold it. Looked a lot better than that. And God blessed us here. And we continued to follow the vision. And we outgrew this space. And we rented the high school. Some of you remember loading the truck up, going over to the high school, unloading everything, having services, loading everything back up. Sometimes the truck wouldn't start. Don Dooley would tow the truck over there with his pickup. But God blessed us, and we grew there. And in 2006, we moved to this campus. Look at this beautiful church. Church. If you see where we started and where we are, you get a visible picture of what it looks like when people obey God and do what he gives them the vision to do. But God's vision was bigger than just this location. Hey, West Campus, God bless you. Some years ago, we bought the West Campus, and now they are a thriving congregation. And then God said, I got something more. And we bought the old Brooklyn campus and we remodeled it. And today it is a thriving congregation. And then just last year, our family invested in a church start and families from our church. And with a major contribution, Pastor Paul started Common Ground Church. I want you also to know that in these 38 years, the average church in America declined. If you look at the statistics, the average church in America declined, and during that time, we have grown and expanded because God will work with people who love him and trust him and will serve him with all their hearts. We believe that if we can just show people how good Jesus Christ is, they will reconsider and they'll be willing to give him another chance in their life. We are a church that doesn't judge itself by do we do 52 services a year. We judge ourselves by what are we accomplishing when we do 52 services. We believe in attracting people to the excellence of Christ. I'm telling you, if you draw a 5-mile circle around all three of our campuses, there are thousands of people who are sitting at home right now who would give Christ another chance if someone could show them his beauty, his wonder, his majesty, and his dignity. But they went to a church where the Spirit of the Lord had departed. And all they knew was organization. And all they knew that was judgment and condemnation. And so, with lonely hearts, they sit at home today far from God. We have to attract them back to the excellence of Christ. They're God's lost kids. We are a church that believes in the joy of ministry. Every Christian ought to serve Christ in some way. You cannot be a partner in the vision if you have not found the place that you serve God with some sense of joy about it. I don't want you to serve God in a way it makes you miserable. That makes God look bad. Stop it. Find a place to serve God that gives you joy. You have a sense of well-being. You're happy to be his partner. That's how he attracts people back to himself. We believe in the adventure of faith. We do hard things. Do you know how hard it was to move from Parma all the way to Lund Road? Do you know how hard it was to have this nice church on Lund Road but rent the high school? Oh, how difficult it was. Oh, how we prayed and trusted God. We stood on this land and prayed time and time again. And God did the miracle and gave us this campus. We prayed that we could expand our reach. And God created the opportunity for the West Campus to open. And now thousands of people will come to Christ. God put us in Old Brooklyn. Listen. The very year that 5 churches went out of business. We do hard things, church, because God glorifies his name when we do when we try to do what only He can do. We are a church that believes in generosity. I will never apologize for asking you to be generous. We have funded good all over the world. I believe that you will never apologize to God for having been generous. You may have to apologize to Him for squandering His blessings in your life. We are God's partner in funding good in the world. We fund good locally, we fund good regionally, we fund good across America, and we fund good around the world because it glorifies God. We have a century church plan. Everything we do that is a major decision, we ask ourselves, how will this affect the church in 100 years? 32 acres cost us a lot of money. We could have gotten by less for 10 acres, but you know what? In 100 years, you won't be able to find 32 acres around here. And if you can find them, they'll be so expensive, nobody will be able to afford it. But we gave the future 32 acres to do whatever God gives them the vision to do. West is giving God 22 acres to do whatever God dreams of doing on that new land. But to be a century church, we have to transition. Church, in 2.5 years, I'll be 70 years old. I started here when I was 28. Just 2.5 years, I'll be 70 years old. And guess what? You people have worn me out. We're going to transition. We're going to have a new lead pastor and a new leadership team. Don't get your hopes up. I'm going to continue being the teaching pastor at this campus. I'm going to be up here shouting at you until the elders say, Doc, you're going to have to sit down now. Church. Listen, I want you to be my partner in the transition. These young kids grew up in this church. Pastor Chet and Sarah, they grew up in this church. Katie and Logan, they grew up in this church. Last night, half the band on the stage grew up in our church. Please listen. These are young people that God has been preparing all of their life to lead this church into an incredible second generation vision. They're going to be awesome leaders, and they're going to be influential for good. They're going to dream dreams and see visions. And we're going to encourage them every step of the way. Would you listen to me? Would you please listen to me? I want you to partner with me. The unholy one can criticize them all he wants. We got to encourage them. The unholy one can discourage them in a multitude of ways, but we are God's partner in God's vision in encouraging them and inspiring them and speaking good into their hearts, affirming them, praying for them. Having their back, church, I'm asking you to partner with me in that. We will be partners together in cheerleading the next generation of leaders into leading this church to accomplish more than we ever dreamed possible. Main campus, I want to talk to you about the next several years. We can't ever have any purpose that is more important than finding God's lost kids and bringing them home. Church, I want to hear that. I want you to hear this. My purpose is not to keep you happy and comfortable. My purpose is to inspire you to partner with Jesus Christ and find some of His lost kids and help them come home. I believe we have the potential to grow by 20% in the next 5 years. I want to tell you where I got that number from. If everyone who is a member of this church could get one person every year to come back to Christ in church, we would grow by more than 20%. If If we double the number of life groups we had and all the life groups just got one family, we would grow by 20%. We're going to restart the sports ministry. If we could use the sports ministry as a bridge to unchurched people, we could grow by 20%. There are multiple ways that we could reach this goal. But the bottom line is, here's how we're going to reach it. You and I are going to be Christ's partners, and we're going to look at people and say, would you give Christ another chance? Would you take a risk and come to church with me? Would you come to my life group? We're doing a serve week. Would you do a serve project with me? And Christ in you will be the bridge that helps them come back to a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. Main campus, we're going to have a legacy campaign, and we're going to pay off the debt on this campus. It cost us $365,000 a year to pay the bank for this building. West is paid for, Old Brooklyn is paid for, but we pay $365,000 a year. You know what? That's $1,000 a day. Now listen to this. When we pay that off, every penny of that goes into ministry budget. Think of the ministries we can start with that money. Think of the people we can help. Think of the people we can support. Think of what might happen if we had $365,000 we weren't given to the bank, but we were investing directly in doing good and glorifying Christ in the world. Main campus. We have to mentor new leaders to start new campuses. We have to mentor leaders to start new campuses. Every year, churches go out of business. And if churches like us aren't creating new churches, the number of churches in our region declines. And if this region needs anything, it needs more healthy, vibrant, living, real connecting churches. We also have to be diligent about our ordination studies program. We are preparing young men and women to be future pastors, and we have a whole curriculum to develop them. I believe for us to be what God wants us to be, 60% of everybody in this room needs to be in a life group. You say, Doc, not this again. Yes, this again. Christianity is a team sport. You can't win by yourself. Listen to me, church. The greatest who ever lived got knocked off in the first round because he can't win by himself. King James. Church. Average players. Five of them can beat the best by himself. You say, well, I don't need it. Yeah, but maybe somebody needs you. Church. I have still a rich heart, and I still have a deep longing that the best hour of every kid's life in this church is the 1 hour they spend with us every weekend. We have to have good people, loving people, kind people, gentle people who will give an hour of their week to help these children come to know Christ. To help these children experience grace, to be treated as if their life is meaningful and valuable, not crammed in a room to be babysat so other people can go to church. I plead with you to partner with Christ in his vision for young kids growing up in this church, coming to know God, and being an awesome force for good in their lifetime. We're going to restart our sports ministry. When we built the house and we watched that video, I was sitting right here on the front row, and I heard the Holy Spirit whisper to me, can you trust me to do that again? I want to do another mission house, church. There's another family out there that we could bridge out of poverty. There's another group of kids out there who are living in a terrible environment. There's another mom who's desperate and doesn't know what her future is going to look like. And we can partner with God in giving them a home. I want to do another mission build. Thank you. Thank you. We made some mistakes. We learned from them. We'll do better next time. When I read the book of Acts, there are regional churches. Jerusalem was a regional church. But they lost the vision. And Antioch became a regional church. But they lost the vision. Ephesus became a regional church. But they lost the vision. Rome became a regional church, spread all through Italy, Spain, and into Europe and North Africa. Throughout church history, there are regional churches, and we need to be a regional church. We need to be the kind of church that partners with God in everything he wants to do in northeastern Ohio that glorifies his name. We are a non-denominational church. We don't say we can't work with you, your name isn't right. We want to work with everybody who loves Christ and has a heart to glorify his name and do good in this generation. West Campus, I say hello to you this morning. I want to give a shout out to Pastor Chad, Sarah and Tony. Let's give them a hand. West Campus, your number one purpose is the same as ours, finding God's lost kids and bringing them home. There's nothing you do at West Campus that is more important than creating an environment where it's easy for people who are far from God to make a new connection with Christ. Pastor Chet has committed himself to lead all three of our campuses in a goal of baptizing 300 people in the next 4 years. West Campus, I want you to know that hopefully this week there will be equipment on the new property and we'll be putting in a temporary parking lot so you can begin to use that property in all kinds of creative ways. But that means that you have an adventure to do with Christ. You have to raise the money for a landmark campus so that thousands of people who live just north of that new campus will come to Jesus Christ. They'll grow in their faith and they'll be partners with God in the future. I hope you dream West Campus of 60% of everyone in your church being in a life group. West Campus, you have to be diligent about mentoring new leaders so you can start new ministries and expand the work of God. And you are our partner in the regional ministry plan. Old Brooklyn, good morning. Pastor Katie, Claire, and Logan, God bless you. Let's give them a hand. Old Brooklyn, your number one job is to find God's lost kids and bring them home. You are in a neighborhood that lost 5 churches, and your voice for Christ is more important than you ever imagined. Old Brooklyn is a community-driven neighborhood. There are many organizations that are committed to making living in that neighborhood better. And you have been uniquely placed by God to partner with those organizations so they begin to see that a great community isn't just created by a great physical environment, but is also created by a spiritual environment of health, encouragement, joy, and blessing. Old Brooklyn, I pray that you dream of 60% of everybody in your church being in a life group. For you to grow and realize your full potential, you have to mentor new leaders. And Old Brooklyn, you are strategically placed to be a bridge for all the regional church ministry we want to do in Cleveland. I want to talk to you about another campus that we often overlook. It's the online campus. Do you know every week thousands of people all over America and the world watch our service? It's incredible. We have people all over America who watch. This is the service they attend every week. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. Our vision is for you to be the church in your neighborhood, for you to be the kind of neighbor that people will see Christ in you. They'll see the quality of your life. They'll see the joy of what it means to be a follower of Christ, and you will attract them to Christ. I wonder if you would, consider an online campus having a watch party where you simply invite a friend or a family member or a neighbor and watch the service together. I wonder if you would consider being a partner with us and make it your ministry to pray for this church every single week. I wonder also if you would partner in our culture of generosity and help us economically so that we can do all the things God is calling us to do. Church, I want you to know we can't fail in the future if we do this with Christ. Do you understand that? All things are possible. Christ said, I'm able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what you can ask or think. What this church can accomplish in the future is incredible. In fact, I expect our future to be greater than our past. You say to me, but the world is so bad. I'm not looking at the world. I gave everybody a bookmarker this morning. I hope you got it. If you didn't get one on the way out. Put it somewhere you can look at it. This is what God says to us through the prophet. I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future and a hope. Do you hear that? Do you want to know what God's vision for our church is? It is a vision to prosper us. It's a vision to give us a future and to fill us with great hope for what he might do in the coming days. I want to ask some of you to renew your commitment to Christ and the church. Maybe it was COVID. Maybe it was something in life. But there was a time in your life when you were a whole lot more serious about being Christ's partner. There was a time in your life when you were more diligent. There was a time in your life when you weren't a spectator, you were a player. I'm asking you to recommit yourself. I'm asking you to help us do this future. Some of you have never made that commitment. Why not do it today? Why not say to Christ today, I'm going to be your partner. I'm going to find where I can serve in the joy of ministry. I'm going to live the adventure of faith. I'm going to attract somebody back to Christ. My life is going to be a generous flow of blessings, resources, kindness, and encouragement. I'm going to be part of the divine vision. Let's be the church. The church in love with Christ. The church empowered by the Holy Spirit. The church encouraging each other to faith and well-doing. The church finding God's lost kids and bringing them home. The church growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the church glorifying God in our generation. Our dear Heavenly Father. There is none like you. You are great, and you will glorify your name in every generation with people who will trust you and partner with you. I pray for this congregation. I pray for West. I pray for Old Brooklyn. I pray for our online congregation. Oh, how I pray that your spirit would wash over our souls this morning. I pray that we would be weary with a complacent Christianity and we would be filled with new faith, new hope, new courage, new belief. And we would be willing to attempt great things with God so that Christ can be glorified in all the earth.